One of the words that you and I often talk about in church is the word faith. Faith means a lot of different things to different people. Sometimes people think that faith means they figured it out, they understand it. Sometimes people think that faith means that they have a knowledge of it and they can prove it, they've seen it, so now they're going to believe it. Well, when the Bible uses the word faith, it's not any of those things. Faith is an understanding. Faith is not figuring out. Faith is not seeing it. It's just taking God at His word. When Jesus got together with His disciples on that first Easter Sunday, that's what He wanted them to have. Faith that just believed the things that were happening. Not understanding, not figuring out, just taking God at His word. It's a good reminder for us what faith is, and when we have that kind of faith, we have all the assurances that God wants us to have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature, and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask you to graciously cleanse us from all sin and to comfort us with your salvation. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 14. And then 22 to 32. Peter was the one that had denied Jesus three times and even took an oath that he wasn't a disciple of Jesus. But here Peter is very bold. He's standing up and telling the people that they actually murdered Jesus. They put him to death, but God raised him to life. God gave Peter the power and the understanding to be able to be bold and confident in his faith. The same thing that he does for you and me. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man recommended to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, who was handed over by God's set plan and foreknowledge, you killed by having lawless men nail him to a cross. He is the one God raised up by freeing him from the agony of death, because death was not able to hold him in its grip. Indeed, David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon my life to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Gentlemen, brothers, I can speak confidently to you about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath that he would seat one of his descendants on his throne, he saw what was coming and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, saying that he was neither abandoned to the grave, nor did his flesh see decay. This Jesus is the one God has raised up, and we are all witnesses of that. Our next reading will be our psalm reading for today, Psalm 16, which David wrote, part of which we just heard. What comfort we have in knowing that when we die, God does not abandon us to the grave, but he raises us back to life and takes us home to heaven. Our second scripture lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. By God's grace, you and I know that we're children of God by faith in Jesus, and he has done that to create faith in us. Jesus can come to us in holy baptism. He comes to us in holy communion. He creates and strengthens that faith through the work of the Holy Spirit so that we have our Christian faith and live as God's children each day. Here's what Peter was inspired to write. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the God who has given birth also loves the one who has been born of him. This is how we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commands. In fact, this is love for God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one that who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, but by water and by the blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Those are our scripture lessons. Please join me in singing our hymn, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Amen. God's word for our encouragement are the verses for this weekend's gospel lesson from John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Dear fellow worshipers, during the calendar year, we follow different themes here at church. Before Christmas, we're in the Advent season getting ready to celebrate, and then we have Christmas, and it's such a joyous occasion. Lots of things happening at Christmas time. Well, we just finished up the Lenten season, 6 weeks plus Holy Week, talking about the things that Jesus did to save us from our sins. And at the end of those 7 weeks, we got to celebrate Easter. And that's really one of the highlights of our Christian lives. If we didn't have Easter, there'd really be nothing to celebrate. But because we do, we know what Jesus has done for us as our risen Savior. On Easter Sunday, just a few days ago, we had lots of flowers up here. We had 270 people here. We had an Easter breakfast to celebrate with. Very special to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And it doesn't get any better than that. I like to think of Easter as God's stamp of approval that sins have been paid for, and you and I are going home to heaven. Well, on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus' disciples were not having a very good time. In fact, they were scared to death because they didn't understand what was going on. They forgot what Jesus had told them about what was going to happen. And they were filled with fear and worry when they didn't really need to be. In our Bible reading, we're going to be studying how Jesus took away their fears by showing himself alive and what that meant for them. They were assured that they were forgiven, and they were assured that they had their faith too. Well, those wonderful truths are also a part of our life of faith. We need to be certain about our forgiveness, and by God's grace we are. And we need to be certain about the things that we believe, because that's really what faith is, trusting the things that God has said and believing his promises. On that first Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead, and he started making appearances to people. He was going to do that for the next 40 days until his ascension back into heaven. So he appeared to Mary, he appeared to the women, he appeared to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. He appeared to 500 believers at the same time a little later on. I'm not sure what event that was, we're not told. But Jesus is going everywhere to make certain that people know that he's been raised from the dead. Well, where are Jesus' disciples, the ones that followed him around for 3 years? What are they doing? Well, they found some room. They locked the doors. If there were windows, I'm sure they had the shades down, probably didn't have any candles going, didn't want anybody to peek inside. They're inside that locked room, scared to death. They don't think Jesus is coming back. They don't believe he's going to rise from the dead. And they think the same thing that happened to Jesus and how he was treated is going to be the way that they're going to be treated too. They forgot all of God's promises. They forgot everything Jesus told them. And now they're hiding in a locked room. Jesus obviously knows that, so he comes to see them. And again, here's what happens. When the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. It was another miracle of Jesus to come right through that wall into a locked room. At first, the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, and one of the other gospel writers says that Jesus asked for something to eat so that he could prove that this was his physical body. And then he showed them the nail marks in his hands, and I'm sure that he showed them the ones on his feet too. Then he must have pulled his robe up and then showed him his side where they had stabbed him to make sure that he had died on the cross. Just a couple days ago, those things were evidence of crucifixion and pain and everything that was wrong with what was happening. But now the nail marks and the spear mark, they were evidence that Jesus was really alive. And that's what Jesus wanted them to know about him. He is alive, just like he said, and that's why he tells them, "Peace be with you." In other words, rest easy, disciples. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be hiding in this locked room because Jesus was no longer dead. He was alive. And if Jesus was alive, that meant that they were alive in their faith too. It was really important for the disciples to understand all of this for their own faith. They needed that strengthening. And the Holy Spirit would later help them at Pentecost to figure out all the ins and outs of what they believed and to give them that knowledge and strengthen their faith. But the disciples didn't just need that understanding for themselves. They were the ones who were going to go out and do the work after Jesus was gone. And at his ascension, Jesus was leaving in 40 days and not coming back. And these guys were going to be in charge of the preaching and teaching. They needed to understand what had happened. And when they saw Jesus alive, they begin to realize that this is all taking place. Jesus really has been raised and all that it means, and they're going to learn all of that. While Jesus is talking to them, he not only will tell them later to baptize and make more disciples by teaching God's word, but he gives them this special ability that we call the ministry of the keys. And this is what Jesus again said to them. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. You remember studying that in the Bible information class, maybe, or in confirmation class, Ministry of the Keys? If I remember that section right in the catechism, the Ministry of the Keys is that special power and right which Christ gave to his church on earth to forgive the sins of those who are repentant, but to refuse forgiveness to those who are not repentant until they do repent. The keys lock and unlock forgiveness. And Jesus was giving that authority to his church to comfort those that did confess and repent, have that change of heart and mind. But for those who didn't repent, they were not to be forgiven so that God's law could convince them of who they were as sinners and then eventually repent. We still use the ministry of the keys today. In fact, it was used tonight already in our worship service. Right at the beginning, we confessed our sins together and we admitted those sins to God. We repented of those sins, had a change of heart and mind. And then I had the privilege of turning around and saying to all of you, in the place and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. That's the ministry of the keys. And we need that comfort and assurance that our sins really are forgiven. Jesus wanted the disciples to use that, and he still wants you and I to use that today. God wants us to be certain of our own forgiveness. And many other people, every other person needs to hear that same thing. And how important it is for them to realize that they're sinners and who Jesus is as Savior. And by living their Christian life, repent of sin and turn to the Lord in faith and be assured that they are forgiven. God has done that for us personally. He's brought us to faith. Our sins have been forgiven, and the Bible even says that God forgets those sins so that he doesn't even remember what they are. What assurance we have, and it's all because Jesus has been raised from the dead. Sin has been paid for. It's all taken away, and we are assured of our forgiveness. When someone in our family, someone in our life passes away, it can be a really hard time. Sometimes people feel lost. They feel upset. They're going to miss that person and it can't really be replaced. Sometimes people wonder why. Sometimes it's hard to understand God's timing for different things, including that. And a person that goes through that, it has a big effect on them. And I'm guessing that as the disciples sat in that room before Jesus showed up, that's the way they were feeling. They never expected Jesus to be raised. And now they're wondering, what's going to happen in the future? Are we going to be killed for our faith? Who's going to teach us? Who's going to guide us? I'm sure they had all these questions that didn't really need an answer because Jesus was raised again from the dead. Well, for us, we sometimes might wonder like the disciples did about things. Maybe there's times in life when you and I feel lost, times when we don't understand what God does or doesn't do. Maybe there's times when we don't feel forgiven of our sins, or we don't understand God's plan for us, or any of that. We can be in the same boat as these disciples were as they were locked in this room, wondering what the future was going to bring. That could be us too. But the disciples didn't really need to be in that room, did they? All they needed to do was put their faith in Jesus and trust what he had said about living and dying and rising again. And that's our comfort as well. With sins forgiven, we know we have our home in heaven to look forward to. And there is no reason to be afraid. There is no reason to worry about what's going to happen or not happen in life. There is no reason to think that God doesn't love us or care about us or we wonder about his plan. No reason for that at all, because we see what Jesus' plan is. And when you and I use our faith and we put our trust in what Jesus has promised, all those fears get taken away and we can have what Jesus told the disciples they could have. Peace be with you. Everything is good when you have your faith and your trust in the Lord, because you are assured of your forgiveness and you are assured of what your faith really is. In this locked room, there are only 10 disciples. Judas has hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. And another disciple, Thomas, wasn't there at the time that Jesus was coming into the room and seeing the other 10. We're not told in the Bible the discussion between Thomas and the 10 when Thomas came back, but I'm sure they were excited and told Thomas all the details. Jesus was here. He showed us his hands and feet. He was alive. He proved it to us. He told us not to worry. Well, Thomas says, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it for myself. Here again is what Thomas told them. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And here's what Thomas said. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." Well, I'm sure for Thomas, seeing someone rise from the dead, that's pretty unusual. But this isn't just anyone. This is Jesus. And the disciple, like Thomas, he should have learned during the 3 years of being with Jesus that anything is possible. But Thomas wanted evidence. So what does Jesus do? Well, 1 week goes by. He comes back again. The doors are still locked. Jesus comes right through. And he goes right up to Thomas, because he knows what Thomas has asked for. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Out of Jesus' love and mercy, he comes back to see Thomas and gives him the evidence. He says, "Here, Thomas, put your finger right here where the nail marks were. You want to see my side? Here it is. Here's where they jabbed me to make sure that I died." And then Thomas understands. And Jesus tells Thomas that you don't need evidence to believe this. You wanted evidence, and I gave it to you, but that's not faith. Faith is just taking me at my word. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And for the disciples, for any disciple, we can do that. God is holy, doesn't make mistakes. God is holy, he can't tell us any lies. Jesus can't make promises to us and then not keep it. This is not a person we're talking about. This is Jesus. You can trust me. You can believe in me. And that's what Jesus wanted Thomas to see for himself. Faith means the same thing for us today. We don't believe something because we can see it, like Thomas wanted to. We're not to believe in something because we can understand it. We can figure it out with our human minds. That's not Christian faith. Christian faith is very simple. It's just taking God at his word. It's believing the things that God has promised so that you and I put all of our faith in our Savior Jesus and the things that he has done for us. And the more we're connected with God's word, the better and easier it is to live as a Christian. God inspired the Bible for us so that we can have it. And right here at the end of John's gospel, he tells us why he gave us the Bible. Here's verse 30. "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these, the scriptures, and these miracles, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Isn't that interesting that there's more miracles than the ones recorded? We have 35 recorded in the Bible, but Jesus did more. And the purpose of it all was so that you and I could believe by faith and trust what God has said, and through that simple, childlike faith, have the confidence of the gift of salvation. Jesus is our risen Savior. His resurrection assures us that we're forgiven of all of our sins. And His resurrection assures us that we believe the truth of God's Word, and that truth changes our lives as we use it each day to live as God's child. I don't know if you've ever seen the Bible movie on TV. They have it on during Holy Week, and I caught some of it this last week right before Easter. Other years I've watched it, and I should just get the DVD because that would be more convenient. But it's 5 2-hour segments, and it starts in Genesis with creation and then goes all the way up to Jesus' ascension into heaven. It's very accurate according to the Bible and what it says. So I enjoy seeing it because you get to see what people look like and the scenery and that kind of thing. It really puts it in perspective. Well, one thing I notice as I watch the Bible movie, I notice this in the Old Testament, God made a promise to send Jesus, made that to Adam and Eve. But all throughout the Old Testament, people were bowing down to idols. Some could have cared less about spiritual things. Well, then you get to the New Testament, and then Jesus arrives. And of course, He's teaching and preaching and performing miracles. But there's people then that were believing in other things. They were trusting in themselves or trying to get rid of Jesus. Some aren't even concerned about spiritual things. It's the same story in our world today, where we have the truth of the Bible, but there's people that could care less. They want to change what the Bible says. They don't want to believe in Jesus. It's the same thing, same temptations. Sin is still in the world, and for a lot of people, they could care less about celebrating Easter and all the things that happen with Jesus. It's important for you and me, because we celebrate Easter and we know all these things that have happened to Jesus, it's important for us to keep all of this in perspective, because we understand Easter and its message so well. There's kind of a tendency for us not to think that it's a very big deal. Or now that Easter is over, we can put that away when we put away the wooden cross and other things until next year and kind of forget about Easter. It would be easy to fall into the temptations that our sinful world has for us and focus on ourselves or other things rather than on spiritual things. It's the same temptation over and over again, regardless of what part of biblical history you're talking about. And whenever that happened, the faithful believers were saved, but those that strayed away were not. It's vitally important for you and I to keep our faith strong. Vitally important not only to understand what happened on Easter, but to let it affect our lives and change the way we live and what we say and our goals and everything else about us. Jesus' resurrection changes all of that. Not just our forgiveness and not just with our faith, but it changes us for all eternity because now we have that hope of heaven with Him. We had a wonderful Easter celebration, but it's not over. It's never over. Jesus' resurrection gives us the assurances that we need to live as one of His children each day. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.